produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Glory. We're just so happy that you've tuned in today. This is Matt Garrity, and my wife Stephanie is here.
Hello, God bless you.
And we are co-founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we also are founders of River of Heaven Ministries, and you can connect with us at www.riveroftheaven.org. www.riveroftheaven.org. And we're here to bring you gems for the journey, wisdom from the Word of God. We know that God's Word is infinite in wisdom, and His Word is life, His Word is light, and so we need to dig into the depths of the Word, and when we do that, there are gems that come forth. There are nuggets of wisdom, and there are strategies. There are directional pieces as well that God will bring forth and just bring alive in our life. For the Word of God is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to even discern the hearts and thoughts of men. So, Father, we thank you for your Word today. We bless you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that it may go forth in mighty power, for your word always goes forth to accomplish what it sets out to. You watch over your word to perform it. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. And so today, we want to talk about the river of life. You know, a little while ago, I began to ask the Lord, Lord, why are we not seeing 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And we have this calamity going on. We've got this pandemic going on. We're in the midst of it. And I'm crying out and saying, God, we really need our land healed. Lord, we really need this to happen. And the scripture before it actually says, when I, the Lord, withhold rain, when I send locusts, when I send a pestilence among my people, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. See, many people read 2 Chronicles 7:14, but they fail to realize that it's a response to 2 Chronicles 7:13. Now, I'm not here to convince anyone that this is sent by God. You know, this pandemic or anything like that, but we know that Romans 8:28 says that all things work together basically for the glory of God. The good and the bad work together. But the result is always we should be crying out, God, heal our land. Heal our land. Because he makes a promise to us. If my people, is that you? Are you a child of God? And he's saying, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves and pray. So we need to humble ourselves. First and foremost, a lot of people say, oh, we need to pray through it. Yeah, but you need to humble yourself before you can pray. Because God said, I don't want to hear the prayers of the proud. I don't have anything to say but to the proud except for humble yourself. So I just thank you, Lord, for humble people. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And all these things that you have need of will be added unto you, the word of God says in the Gospels. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Somebody say, repent. Repent. It was never just believe Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It was repent and believe. Repent and believe. John the Baptist came preaching what? Repentance. Jesus Christ came out and said, repent and believe. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After, you know, the birthing of the New Testament church, Peter came out and said to those who were standing around the upper room, repent. You crucified the Lord Jesus. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. And so we must humble ourselves and pray. Seek the Lord's face with all that we are and turn from our wicked ways. And when we do that, God promises us in his word that he hears our prayer. Do you want your prayers to be heard from God by the Lord? He promises to hear those prayers. Prayers from the humble. Prayers who seek him with all their heart. Who love them with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And those who come from a repentant heart. Like, in other words, clean me, O God. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse myself, Lord. Cleanse my body. Cleanse everything about me. I want to be pure. I want you to know that it's a pure request coming up before you. I'm reminded of what it says in the Word in Isaiah chapter 6. The prophet is taken into a vision of the throne room of God. And he comes into the throne room and he says, behold, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And he's looking, and then there's angels crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Another angel cries out again, holy, holy, holy. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah is shaken, and he's undone. Oh my God, I've seen the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. And so what does it cause the prophet to do? He doesn't just look around. He doesn't just start to say, oh, I think I need this from you today, Lord, and I'd like you to give me this. And no, he repents. He says, woe am I, for I'm unclean. I'm an unclean man, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. The prophet Isaiah was not really that unclean of a man, but he was the most holy prophet in Israel at that time, who God was using to speak as a vessel. He's speaking as an oracle of the Lord to the people, a national renowned prophet, if you will. But yet, in the light of when he gets in the throne room of God, he says, you're God, you're completely holy, and I'm not, and I'm unclean. And not only that, but I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. So what? I repent, purify me, and cleanse me. And what is God's response? He sends an angel with a coal from the altar, and he touches the prophet's lips. He touches the prophet with the coal, and he said, behold, you've been cleansed. And that goes right in step with 2 Chronicles 7:14. When we humble ourselves and we pray, we seek his face, and we turn from our wicked ways. I'm unclean. Woe am I. Cleanse me, Lord. God says, I'll not only hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. And so we need healing in this land like never before. So I was asking the Lord one night, very vehemently, Lord, why are we not seeing the healing of the land? And he told me simply, because my people need to humble themselves. They need to pray. They need to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And I said more specifically, Lord, you know, what can we do? What, you know, how can we bring this about? How is this going to work in your body during this time? You know, do we get the church together? Do we get the region together? And do we call for a time of fasting and prayer? How do we go about this? And I really began to seek him even more. I said, how do we implement this strategy, Lord? Because many people have humbled themselves and prayed and sought your face and turned from wickedness. But how do we truly begin to realize and see this healing of the land? And so I had a dream that night when I went to bed. And in the dream, it was very profound. I walked into this meeting, and it was a well-known international man of God, and he contends very strongly for revival. He contends very strongly to see 2 Chronicles 7:14 manifest in our generation. And this man called me out from the crowd, and he said, come here, and he laid his hands on me. And when he laid his hands on me in the dream, I began to have a vision. So it was kind of a dream within a dream, if you will. And in this vision, I was in a field. I walked out, and I was in this field, and I looked around, and it was dry. And I looked around, and there was large blades of grass, and on those blades of grass were praying mantises, and they were dried out. They looked like almost like a skeleton, an exoskeleton, if you will, of the actual insect. And I'm looking, and they're still alive, but they're very dry. And the Lord said to me in the dream, behold, behold. And so I began to really seek the Lord and say, oh God, I saw all these things that you showed me. And I saw this field that was dry. And I saw these praying mantises that were on these blades of grass that were dry. And everything was dry, oh God. And you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said, the praying has become dry. That's why the land is dry. Because the praying has become dry. The Lord said, my prophetic people have become dry. The praying has become dry. Therefore, the land remains dry. And so the Lord was speaking and saying, what you can do specifically, son, what you can do specifically as to encourage the body of Christ, it's time to get back to swimming in the river. It's time for inviting the rain of God. It's time again to ask the Lord to bring those times of refreshing. It's time again to cry out, oh God, come to us like the rain, as it says in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. For many at this time will call out in prayer and they'll look for answers and solutions. But how many are calling and just saying, oh God, come to us like the rain. We need a saturation. Oh, the praying's become dry because we've become dry. Oh Lord, let us again not just walk in your river, not just wade in your river, but let us swim in your river. And the river of God always is symbolic of the Spirit of God in the Scripture. It's always symbolic of Holy Spirit in the Scripture. God is saying that the praying people, those who pray, have become dry because their fellowship's become dry with me. They're just praying prayers. They're just speaking words, but they're not wet. They've not submerged themselves. They're not engulfed. They're not entrenched. They're not immersed in me. The praying has become dry. The prophecy has become dry. They're just words, the Lord says. They're just words. And because of it, the land remains dry. And so I want to talk to you today about the river of life. One of the gems the Lord showed me some time ago is that we need to understand what God meant when he said that his river would flow. And so there's really three scriptures that highlight the river of the Lord, or the river of life, if you will. The first is Genesis chapter 2. The second is Ezekiel chapter 47. And the third is Revelation chapter 22. And so today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2. Generally, when we want to understand anything, we go back to the beginning. If you want to do something, you want to figure out how to, something broke, something fell apart, what do you go? You go back to the instruction manual, right? You go back to where the directions were of how to put together. Similarly, we go back to the beginning to find God's original intent for all things, right? So in Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 8,
The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates.
So it's really interesting that when God, he puts Eden, so he puts, he is the kingdom of God, he puts this outpost of the kingdom of God on earth called Eden. He puts Adam and Eve, the man and woman of God, in the garden to govern it. And he says that the first thing that flows out of it is what? It's a river. And it's not just a single flowing river. It's a river that breaks into four headwaters. Now what's interesting about these headwaters is they each have names in Hebrew. Amen? The word Pishon means increase. Say increase. The word Gihon means bursting forth or breaking through. Say bursting forth. Say breaking through. The word Hiddekel or Tigris means rapid. Say rapid. And Euphrates means fruitfulness. And also similarly, we need to understand that not only was it flowing, a river flowing out of God's garden in Genesis chapter 2, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 9 and 10, not only was there a garden with a river flowing out of it in the Garden of Eden, but the Bible says in the Amplified, "For we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field, his garden, his vineyard, God's building." So not only is there a garden in Eden, but God said that we as children of God are his garden. And as there was a river flowing out of his garden in Eden, so also there are rivers, there is a river flowing out of us as the garden of God. And we know that river comes from the source, the living water himself, Jesus Christ. And so we need to appreciate that in the beginning there was a river, God placed a garden, and out of the garden flowed a river. And similarly in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about we are God's garden. And when you are born again, the living water, Jesus Christ himself, comes to dwell in you. And then out of our belly flows rivers of living water. Out of us flows the river. Again, out of God's garden flows a river. And it brings life, as we're going to look and find out more as we continue with this teaching. So let's now deal with what each one of these rivers means in Hebrew, and what revelation comes out of each meaning of the rivers flowing. The first river is Pishon. And Pishon means increase. Increase. This word increase can also mean full flowing. God is never a God of scarcity and lack. He owns it all. Amen? Now, I'm not going to get off balance with all the, you know, there's a lot of people that just preach prosperity. God wants to make everyone a millionaire. I'm not saying that. But he wants you to have more than enough. Why? So that when people are hurting and they're saying, I don't have enough gas to do this. I don't have, you know, the resources to do this. As the people of God, we should be like, man, I have the river of increase flowing into my life. Here's 20 bucks. Here's 50 bucks. Man, here, build that house. That's the faith I have. I want the Lord to bless us in so incrementally financially that we can help people build things that they want to build. The government should not be the answers to the nation's problems. The church should be. And we should have enough money, these churches with millions of dollars, man, let's start putting it to work to help with things instead of the government having to do everything. Come on. What about a program for that? I know there's some things, but I mean like grand scale projects. You don't need votes. Hey, here's $1 million. Go do that. Go build that. No votes necessary. Amen? Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:19 that believers would be filled with the fullness of God. And John spoke of Jesus in John 1:16 in the Amplified Version, saying, out of the fullness, the abundance, we have all received and been supplied with one grace after another in spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped, that's in the Amplified, upon gift. In other words, God has supplied us with fullness. Say fullness. Similarly, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has given us, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So again, we see this fullness. He's given us all things. All right, so the second river is Gihon. Say Gihon. And it means bursting or gushing. Now, what I find so interesting about this is that God, that he, in his creativity, he named it, there's four headwaters. Like, in other words, he's shown us a small facet of who he is by saying, out of the garden that I placed there, it's not just, there's not just going to be Eden, my pleasure there, and man governing it. But out of Eden, say out of Eden, there's a flow. How many of you know that Eden was already full of increase? It was already full of gushing. It was already full of fruitfulness. It was already full of rapidity, right? Of purpose and growth and things like that. His will was for it to come out of Eden. Say out of Eden again. And this seems to be the issue that some of the church has. We have stuff going on here, man. We're full. We've got the word. We've got the glory of God. What about it going out of Eden, out of the church, into the streets, into the community? Amen?
Yeah.
To touch people. John 4:14 in the Message Version says, anyone who drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Not ever. The water I give will be artisan spring, that's an interesting translation, within gushing fountains of endless life. Gushing fountains of endless life. Christ is the answer, but we have what they need. Amen? If you found a gold mine, would you keep it to yourself? Maybe some of you would, but what should you do? I found a gold mine. There's plenty for everybody. Let's go. Get your ship. We'll sail over there, and it's in that cove. Anyway. The third river is the Hiddekel. Say Hiddekel or Tigris. This means, there's a little different, but it can also mean swift or darting. And it actually, it's kind of like a word picture of like an arrow in flight. So you picture an arrow. It's not a picture of an arrow in a quiver, but it's something that is called to hit the mark. It's something with purpose. Amen? It's something that's darting. It's something that has a projected path. How many of you know that when the river flows, it brings purpose? But when you come in, sometimes you're like, man, God, I don't know. You know, I'm here in my life or whatever. But then you renew with purpose when the glory of God comes, because you're being hit by a river full of purpose. Swift and darting. A man who was praying fervently at a prayer meeting was asked what he was praying about. He looked up, paused a second, and then said, nothing in particular. Here's my question. If we're praying for nothing in particular and God answers our prayer, what exactly is that we end up with? We need a target for our prayers. Amen? When we pray, we can't just be like, oh God, just bless everybody. You know, I mean, you can pray general prayers. That's fine. But I'm saying, let's start believing God for things. Let's have purpose in our prayers. When things flow out, when the river of God flows out, it brings purpose. It, like, people are like, man, I've been all over the place, but for some reason now I feel like alive again. But not only do I feel alive, but I feel like I made a list of goals for myself. I feel like I can do it. It brings purpose. When you find out your identity, now there is a God of the universe that placed you here to do miraculous, amazing things and to help people who are hurting, to help to rescue those who are living in darkness and stuff like that. How many know that is one of the greatest purposes you could ever think of? There's all these nonprofit companies, I want to change the world. Great. Get the word of God into you. Amen? Get the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't do it on your own.
That's right.
The fourth river is the Euphrates. Say Euphrates again.
Euphrates.
It means fruitful. I think everyone knows that that's a good word. Fruitful. The opposite of fruitfulness is what? Barrenness. Barrenness speaks of like when you picture a desert, there's hardly any water in a desert, except maybe if you see a mirage, then there's water in the desert. Or you find like some little, but it also speaks of, you know, there's also things can be barren, you know what I mean? Trees can be barren. What does that mean? There's no fruit in the tree. The tree's supposed to produce fruit, but there's no fruit found in the tree.
Amen, amen. Well, we know that you are blessed by the broadcast today because the Word of God came forth. And remember that the garden of God, wherever there is a garden, wherever there is something that God has placed, there are four things that will always flow out of it. Increase will always flow out of it. Growth will always flow out of it. Purpose will always flow out of it. And fruitfulness will always flow out of it. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says that we, not just the Garden of Eden, but it says that we are the garden of God. He is the vine. In John 15:5, it says that I am the vine, Christ says, and you are the branches. But another scripture says you are God's masterpiece. You are God's garden. And so as the garden of God, what's flowing out of you? And if you've never had this happen for you before, never had this happen in your life before, just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm your garden. And that I know, Lord, whenever you created a masterpiece, wherever you created a garden, there was four things that you had intended to flow out of it. Increase, growth, purpose, and fruitfulness. And so, Father, we just thank you for your people. God, I just thank you for your people today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, and may he give you his peace. May you understand that you are the garden of God, and may increase flow from you. May growth flow from you. May purpose flow from you. May fruitfulness flow from you. And may it touch all the people around you. May it bring life to those dead places and refreshing to those dry places all around your life. God bless you today. Thank you for tuning in to Gems for the Journey with Matt and Stephanie Garrity. And I just want to invite you, if you've never connected with us before, connect with us at www.riverofheaven.org. And along those same lines, make sure you get your hands on a copy of my new book, Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. We explore the holiness of God, but also the sevenfold nature of his Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so if you want to learn more about the holiness of the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold nature of the Spirit, make sure you get that book. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and other avenues. God bless you today. I look forward to being with you. We look forward to being with you next time, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Sing holy, sing holy, sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Paget.
Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. Amazing. Praise Jesus. Hear the children of Israel as they hear bad news that the enemy is about to attack. King Jehoshaphat has knelt down before the Lord. He has prayed to God. Thank you, Jesus. God has used Jahaziel, son of Zechariah. Tell them not to fear. Let them march down tomorrow against their enemies. Thank you, Jesus. They don't have to fight this battle. It'll take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Praise Jesus. Ooh, go out to face them tomorrow. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua. Consecrate yourselves. Tell them, my children, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow I'll do an amazing thing. So this is what God is about to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You bring my world to life. I'm coming after your love, Jesus. I'm not shaken. I'm not letting go. And everything's come alive. Ah, Jesus. We are not shaken. Praise Jesus. For freedom is here. I reckon they were marching. They were marching. They were marching. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Jesus, freedom is here. Thank you, Jesus. It changes everything. Praise you, Jesus. So I'm still challenged. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Praise you, Jesus. Utla Jahazilori. Mudimu is taking us back to true worship. True worship. You remember Michael W. Smith. Another guru. I'm excited to worship today. He is the trendsetter. He is the legend. The spirit of the Lord was on Jahaziel. The spirit of the Lord said to him, you will not have to fight this battle. He said, tell them they don't have to fight this battle. They must take up their position. Stand firm. Thank you, Jesus. I want to challenge you today. I'm going to challenge you today. If the Bible says here, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, go out to face them tomorrow. And I'm going to challenge you. You know, when you wake up in the morning and the kettle maybe has been sitting like that for days, maybe you have not brewing your coffee or your tea for your own reasons, maybe you've been going to work really busy. What happens inside the kettle? You are more likely to see those ants, you know, small insects or spiders, you know, opportunistic parties more debate them because there is no mobility. So now you need to drain out the kettle and pour fresh water. It's the same thing. If you don't plug yourself into the Holy Spirit, if you don't plug yourself into your relationship with God, whether through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the water that you carry, your well, shall have those opportunistic parties. You'll feel like, why batlo rapela extra hours? Go etsahalang. Do you understand what I'm saying? You start judging people that are plugged on. Thank you, Jesus. People that are activated. So the kettle cannot have those opportunistic parties because it is always what? Working. It's in operation. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to challenge you, Mwanamudimo. You need to learn how to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. If it means not 7 cups of tea every day, then just imagine spiritually what happens. If it means you want to prepare pap, maybe you want to prepare it by boiling a kettle and then the frequency at which we use this kettle. So hopola mudimo hatla ko wena batla o berekisa batla o berekisa thola re wena your water is lying dormant, ne? It's not the well that people can drink from. Hi mamela ge ke re ko wena learn to pray. Start hanyane fela, start praying for yourself uri mudimo for the desire to eat your word, for the desire to read the Bible. A gona mthori ngona le a certain way of praying. You just open your mouth, you know, And rend your heart like we shared previous days. When I will appeal your heart, ntate mudimo re come, you know, come those that are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Ntate mudimo abuwa khape, I will call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you greater things that you never knew of. Watch your heart. Ask anything in my name. If you ask anything in my name, it shall be given unto you. Ar khape ask, it shall be given. Ar open, the door shall be, you know, or knock and the door shall be open for you. The word is there to guide us. But I'm saying, Cohen, if you cannot pray for yourself, how then will you be sustained to start praying for other people? Other people in this case, your immediate environment, people that you love so much, your family. Then if you cannot be at that level where it starts with self, then it transcends to those around you, moving from those around you, touching those that are in your community, your neighbors. Hey, Bahaites, you need to pray for our neighbors. Imagine if this disease was to hit our neighbors. What kind of a street will we talk about? What happened to the watchmen? If you cannot pray for your city, you cannot pray for the country. This is a ripple effect. It starts with you, then it goes beyond that. So you need to take your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. Because how well I go verse 24, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Thank you, Jesus. Mamela, it takes a person of your caliber. It takes someone like you who says, now I am going to stand up. Yeah? Because freedom is here. God said, but the battle is not yours, it's mine. So the first part of Michael W. Smith's song said, the future comes alive. You speak your word and I'm running into your hope. Walter, the future comes alive when God speaks his word. Now we run into his hope because we have seen the light. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord brings our world to life. That's what the Lord does to us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I pray that, Lord, you may open our eyes so that we understand what you are all about and what you are saying to us, my God, in the name of Jesus. So I want to play you this song, and I want you to start marching. Rise up, man, from complacency. Complacency won't help you, but complacency, it will take your metsi ala abole, atlo bola metsi ala, atlo ngha. That's what happens. Mudimar, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Akai metsi, akai, bakai batho batlo nwang from you. Now always say, sometimes you don't have to minister the way I minister, but you can minister by praying for people. Wang understand, guys? You can minister by praying for people and say, Lord, now I'm standing in proxy for my people. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. For my country, for my nation, for my family. But in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So let me just bless you with this praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Freedom is here. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just march around your house. Thank you, Jesus. Be crazy. The Lion of Judah has risen against your enemy. Praise Jesus. Ha! They say we won't make it. We're not oring, child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Take your position. Stand firm. Abba Shwebaloi. Praise you, Jesus. Repent. Or die, wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. You false witnesses, you witches, in the name of Jesus. I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go. And everything comes alive. As you lift you higher, everything's come alive. Hey, hey. Jesus. Metsi ale. Anale stagnant. Aphela jwanong. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom is here, ngwana mudini. Freedom is here. Rise up. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hi. I'm not shaking. I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go. Ah, and everything comes alive. Ah, Jesus. Ah, Mamela, everything's come alive when we lift him higher. Harimo praise. Rahlula. Dead bodies. Into tse re di bona. Rona ra makala go lona la lolana le batho re fitla mo re thola re ke di dead bodies. O ska wara ka baloi, o ska wara ka your tormentors, your enemies. The battle is not yours. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Thank you Jesus. Those who said you'll not make it, kibo mambona. I praise Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your anointing that breaks every yoke. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you. We have prepared the way, we have prepared the way for you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, Jesus. Lord, may you bless your children today. May you bless them tomorrow. May you bless them in the future. Disease free, poverty free, lack free, strong, confident. May the light shine like dawn. Thank you, Jesus. May strengthen them, O God, in the name of Jesus. Jobs are from God. Money is from God. Or the earth is mine and its fullness thereof. Scripture says in Caesarea, you know what? Heaven is my throne. Hallelujah. And the earth is what? My footstool. That Modimo is in control. Born, he is in control. Just praise. Learn the art of praising him. Thank you, Jesus. Ultra fail. The enemy has been defeated. I'm gonna close now. Stay blessed. Good day, saints. The Lord is still good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Our enemies are experiencing an ambush. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. United Hillsong speaking to us. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. We are still marching. We are marching in the spirit. We are refusing to be deterred. We are refusing, you know, any mode of obstacle. Rea pusha, rea pusha, rea rapela. Thank you, Jesus. We know who our Father is. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, for those who know their God shall do exploits. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, let's worship. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship. Just join me, just join me. Oh, in it. Ooh, praise Jesus. If you soak our rappel, get over there or jump into this lake of Bethesda. Sasala Murao. Spiritual famine will come when you desire to pray. No one will be praying with you, no one will share the weight. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go. I'm running into your nose. Jesus, because I've seen your light, you bring my way to life. I'm coming after your love. I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go. And everything comes alive in my life as we lift you higher. Hey! Naba tunga kiti kereng. Jesus, as we lift you up. Sing it out, freedom, enough. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom is here. So take the limits off, no matter what the cost. I'm running after your call. Jesus, so let your power overflow. Oh, I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go. Arying, and everything's come alive. Hey, my life, as you lift you higher. Jesus. Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Wait, King. I want to understand what God is saying. Wena, 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 wherever you are, just let me know. Nrumele pina e, because kitlo mataka yona. Ake batle lo tsebo re ke a sekgwa kapa o fila joang. Bona, ritembre na Jesu ha ana sponsorship. So long as ona le lentswe, then you've got the truth. Bible, you shall know them. I mean, you shall know the truth and it shall set you free. The book of John chapter 17, Ere. Sanctify them by the word of truth. Thank you, Jesus. Which is the word. Hallelujah. Praise. Utlafe. As you live too high. Everything comes alive. In my life, as we lift you up, as we lift you high. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. So tlake o khothatse he ko encourage. Ba bona today ke tlo batla re shape this part ya this song. Ere, I'm not shaking, I'm not letting go, and everything comes alive in my life as we lift you up. Sing it out, your freedom is here. So take the limits off, no matter what the cost, I'm running after your call. Langkutl, no matter what the cost, you are running after the calling of God. And I will run this race, see you face to face. So let your power overflow. Thank you, Jesus. So today I want to encourage you with those words. Lord, I'm running after your call. I will pray for people no matter what. Thank you, Jesus. Rebala, the book of John chapter 17, you know, yeah, God is faithful, God is faithful. So when you read the book of John chapter 17, retlo bona, when Jesus prayed for himself. Thank you, Jesus. He prayed for himself, he prayed for the disciples, he also prayed for the believers, all of them. So tlakublela retsa jalo, what happens to the enemy? Mamela. What happens? Those dead bodies that were lying before Nari di Luanza. Kweta halanka tona. Utrahe. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The enemy gets to be defeated. He gets to be defeated. Harunari kopane, the enemy gets to be defeated. Harunari rapelana, the enemy gets to be defeated. Harunari nari the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the enemy gets to be defeated. Harunari tswarelana, the enemy gets to be defeated. Harunari le kereke, re stopa o kombana ka menwana, kereke so e jwang, wena o jwang. Kabane, before re bua ka dikereke, ho na le motho. Kereke, it's made of participants, and you are one of the participants. What role do you play in your church? When you saw injustice, when you see evil practices, where do you and total side saving or idea or Bible? What role did you play? So na ke batla le challenger today. A re tlogele go apara kobo ya kereke. Ke rona kereke. So ntate wa rona o ile modimo, o ile a rena Jesu Kriste. Elgarat at his sacrifice, his only begotten son. What a generosity, kind of generosity. So, John chapter 17, Jesus prays for himself. Thank you, Jesus. Eri, this is what he said. Father, the time has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. So, Mamela, Luena, you can still pray the same prayer. Mudimuaka, glorify me. For you have granted me the ministry to pray, the ministry to share the way, the ministry to worship, the ministry to intercede, the ministry of compassion. Watseba gore Modimo file eng. but ire mudimu so that I may be able to what to execute that katselom filenyon. Or now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So abatsebe wena. So aho rapela mudimu tlogela gore wena batho ba wrong, wena o right. O tsebela ko kae? Jesu Kriste ba ikokobetsa mona ore modimo aka ko wena o nrumileng. Ene nna ke kopa gore since nako e sa ile teng, sa e fitlhile, ke kopa gore ke kgone go fetsa this mandate. You know, so that batho ba mandate on pitseleng ke go batho ba go tsebe gore you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So may we be such Christians who are not attached to any sponsorship, you know. I give a tlotse, I wanna be like a tlotse. But Christians who are attached to God, Christians who say, Mudimu aka, eske ema mo pele ga sefatlhisa o ke ema gore ntate Mudimu aka o ntukise gore ke kgone go fetsa tsela e neng pile ditseng yona. Hillsong ya tsho mona ire, and I will run this race, see your face. See you face to face, so let your power overflow. Ke thapelo ya a true believer, not a believer re nna ke betere he batho bona ba etsang ba etsang. And then uska posta ka wisdom, uska posta ka anything. You know, this morning I posted go WhatsApp status. I said ke eng tweleng gore no university, nothing can teach you about. I understand other people said life, nna ke re ke wisdom. Because a gona motho tla go ruta wisdom, a tla ke dilo mo fatse ke go ruta wisdom. Wisdom it's a contact mutim, but wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is fearing God. When we acknowledge ra ritse sepe, a ritse sepe. And this, as soon as re go ba thung repent, repent. A ke ra nong na ke ntwe ke thutileng yona. I can't talk to you and not practice it myself. I can't disregard the gifts of others. Ke nagana gore ke betere. I learn from the young, from the matured, you know, from the gray hair. Why? Because ka itse gore wisdom ipatile mo la ntlhaloganya bagaetso. So Jesus prayed for himself, and then in verse 6, Rabona, Jesus prays for his disciples. Hey, wait a minute, totam dim. Ma when I was talking and it looked like Adi Yomo Bible and Kita Dite. Jesus prayed for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you give me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. But I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. Because they are yours. The disciples are na. So disciples in your life, keep a tuba close to you. Keep family a how. Keep a tuba tuanali lilona bupilomba kabali mamelanlin tuilena every day. I need to pray for you. How can I say I'm praying for you? Na kisa kala kana kana se tabata katena akadia la university kitabata mudimu. And in verse 20, Jesus prays for all believers. Or my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Le kae bala ka ofela, but ke rata attitude ya Jesu. Man, Jesu is not puffed up. That man was humbled. That's why Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. That's why Bible says, humble yourself, you know, and I will lift you up. So, urapeletse wa ithapella, urapela di disciples, go ene ka ba community, ki family, whatever. Then what? Urapela all believers. Ke kopa re tsamaeng ka yona taba ena, re itlhotlhore pele. Modimo o tla utlwa jang for family, o tla utlwa jang for others ha re sa itlhotlhore. Pride ke e tsamaye, lenyatso le tsamaye, judging e tsamaye. Then ha re etsa jwang, ntate Modimo wa sebetsa. Hallelujah, praise you Jesus. Utlwa fela, the enemy gets defeated. Oh, we lift your name, all right. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stay blessed.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, we are thankful to the Lord for this time again to share the word with you. The Lord is faithful, and we are grateful for this opportunity as we are on our extension, 2 weeks extension of our national lockdown in South Africa. We thank the Lord for being good either way, because we are alive, we are healthy, and we were never on the short end of the stick of receiving His goodness and mercies upon our lives. And in the process, please do not neglect to pray for us as we pray for you, our brethren, and your families. And let's not forget to pray for those who work behind the scenes, putting this all together and making it possible. Let's pray for them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren in Christ, what causes one not to repent? I think it's quite simple. It's pride. It's not really guilt. It's pride. It's funny that if you were to present money or present something that comes in the form of money or gain on this earth that is of the carnal, people will put pride aside, majority of them will put pride aside and be in the following the queue to receive or to obtain whatever it is that is beneficial unto the flesh. Now, if you can put pride aside for that, something like that, free meals or food stamps, or even money for that fact, but you can't put your pride aside for repentance. I mean, what is that called? How do we reason? How do we begin to reason with that or find excuses concerning that? My point is, you can put your pride aside, forget who you are at that time, to get what you desire to get, that is all the physical. But what about your spirit? Why don't you repent so that you may be right with the Lord? What causes people not to repent is not really guilt. You hear that a lot. Can God forgive me? I don't think God can forgive me. It's got, as much as there is guilt, it's more of pride more than it is guilt. You are proud to repent. And here's the thing. It's funny. Let me use another example. You fall on the ground. But here's the thing. You lose pride. You lose your pride. And what do? You stand up from where you're fallen or stumbled. You dust yourself off and you continue your way if you have not sustained any injuries. Now, doing so through sin, why can't you do the same? Dust off, repent.
dust off the sin, repent to the Lord, and go on with your life. So, by virtue of people who say they are guilty and they don't think God can forgive them, so why, when you fall, when you stumble on the ground, why don't you feel guilty to stand up? And dust, why don't you feel guilty to stand up and dust yourself and continue with life? That's why I say pride, in the same pride is the reason why people don't repent, more than it is about guilt. Have I done evil? Many a times. Although here's the thing, I value my soul. I value my vestments on the other side of the grave more than I do in trying to keep something as stupid as pride on this side of the grave. Let's read some scriptures in the Word just to show you how necessary repentance is. Regardless of the evil you have done, repent, turn from it. Repent while there's time. And I'm reading from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. It reads as follows. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. Let me read that again. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came and said to him, there were two men in a city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had purchased and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate his food, drank from his cup. It laid in his arms and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and to avoid taking one from his own flock or herd, to prepare for the traveler who had come to him, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for his guest. Then David's anger burnt intensely against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall make restitution for the ewe lamb four times as much, because he did this thing and had no compassion. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you as king over Israel, and I spared you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and put your master's wives into your care and under your protection. And I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will stir up evil against you from your own household, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this before all Israel and in broad daylight. Excuse me. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has allowed your sin to pass. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have given opportunity to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the son that is born to you shall certainly die. Then Nathan went to his home. As David did evil in the sight of the Lord. And look, I mean, the story, I mean, it really describes exactly what it describes. It symbolizes as David had unto Uriah the Hittite. He sleeps with the man's wife. The man's wife falls pregnant. Instead of coming clean, he wanted to get Uriah the Hittite to go and lay with his wife. But Uriah the Hittite said he cannot go and lay with his wife while his fellow men are at war. And he refused to return to his home to sleep with his wife. And when David found out that he did not go to his home to lay with his wife, he then devised a plan to kill Uriah the Hittite and put him on the dangerous side of the war, where the war was taking place, or battlefield actually. Yeah, the dangerous side of the battlefield. And indeed, Uriah the Hittite died at the swords of the Ammonites. And now David, instead of coming clean that he has committed adultery with the man's wife, he kills the husband of Bathsheba, which is the woman he laid with. And now he wants to marry her. It looks like a well-devised plan. But the Lord saw everything that took place and was not pleased. And as you can see, David brought a curse upon himself and his household. Although, with that being said, he repented. He repented, and according to other translations, Nathan said to him, this shall not happen in your time, for it shall happen with the next generation that was about to take place. Although some portions of it took place where one of his sons, Absalom, took David's wives and slept with all of them in broad daylight. So the thing was, the Lord forgave David for him repenting, although there were still repercussions. Although the bottom line is, no matter how much evil he did and committed in the sight of the Lord, he went on his knees and repented of his sins. Now, let us open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 3. I just want to show you how repentance is so sweet. And it reads as follows. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but he could not see because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran on ahead. And climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through the way. When Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed Jesus with joy. When the people saw it, they all began muttering, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "See, Lord, I am giving half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I give back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost." So it was well known what Zacchaeus was all about. A crook. I don't want to mention names of are notorious crooks in South Africa or even around the world, but we know them. But you see, here's the thing. He dropped pride. He became selfless and repented. And obviously, I mean, it was evident that he cheated people of money and robbed them. But because now he was in the midst of the Savior, he found an opportunity to come right, and he dropped his pride, and there he received salvation on the spot. Repentance is precious, believers in Christ. I don't know how many times I have disappointed the Lord. But look, I'm alive. But that's not the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony is he lives inside of me. I still have a relationship with him. Now that is the greatest. Because life is not really an accomplishment when you come to think of it. The greatest accomplishment is to find a home on the other side of the grave. When your name is written in the book of life and Jesus knows you and doesn't cast you away from his sight. I cannot ever be a gambler with salvation. What does the Bible say? Your righteousness is like filthy rags. That's why a person who's self-righteous, you must know that they are into deep deception. They need serious deliverance, because that is not of Christ. I love what one brother in Christ said. He said, "You are born into sin. When were you born into sin? The very day your mother gave birth to you. You're already born into sin." That's why it's called born again when you're in Christ. Because there is error, as the wise old man once said. There's an error with your first birth. That's why you need to be born again. Repent, believers in Christ, while there is still time. And talk of repentance. We're on a roll here. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. It reads as follows. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Now there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she found out that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began wetting his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to him, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Verse 40. Jesus answering said to the Pharisee, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Teacher, say it." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had no means of repaying, he freely forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I take it, for whom he forgave more." Jesus said to him, "You have decided correctly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the moment I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not even anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with him began saying among themselves, "Who is this who forgives, or who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now, in other translations, it says she was a prostitute, a harlot. With my translation says a sinner. It was obvious what this woman was. She sold her body to men for money. But now look, she never missed an opportunity of repentance. And Jesus forgave her sins. It is only pride that keeps you away from repentance. It's not guilt. As much as we do feel guilty, but it's pride above guilt that keeps you away from repentance. Now, speaking of repentance, just to be careful, I want to put a reminder, which is from the book of Romans chapter 6. It reads as follows. What shall we say? Should we continue in sin and practice sin, the habit, so that grace may increase and overflow? Certainly not. How can we, the very ones who died to sin, continue to live in it any longer. Let me leave it at that. Now that you've been forgiven of your sins, repent. Turn from your ways. Don't stay in pride. Here's the thing. As much as you have stumbled, but the more you stumble, the more you face risk of injuries, the more bruises you will sustain on your body. That's what sin is. Yes, you have the grace to stand up and dust yourself off. But now look at the risk. Your clothes face risk of being torn up. You face a risk of having injuries on your body besides bruises. Serious injuries besides bruises on your body. That's how sin is. Repent. Stay away from pride. And as you have repented, do not abuse the grace. May the Lord be with you.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chief Kotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.